also mentioned on Parsha Shoftim in the Sefer Aderes Eliyahu, which is written by the Talmidim of the Gro, they quote in his name that the pasuk in Parsha Shoftim that says Ki polim imcha dov lamishpat bein dam ledam bein din ledin bein nega lanega kan kil lahatorah kol gimel chelki hatorah, that there are three areas of halacha. One is dam ledam isa v'heta, whether the woman is a nida labayla. One is din ledin dini maminis, nega lanega is tumah v'tara. That all of isa v'heta fits in to one big system, one big pattern. You have to learn how to kavachayim, mamatzinim din echad l'chaveiroi. And all of dini maminis fits into one big pattern. And all of tumah v'tara fits in to one big mosaic. And the Gemara says, Isim bituma lo yafinon, in Yisurim imamayna lo yafinon. Because Isim heter and tuma and dinim amnes, each one is a different area of halacha. So, this is so that the three areas of halacha with respect to paskeni b'makam sofik also. We're learning a Gemara here on Tesson the base about sofik deraisa and sofik tuma and sofik sakana. So the how do you paskan halacha when this is sofik? So sofik isura, sofik deraisa luchumra. You go luchumra. It's the machlekes, the Rambam, and many other rishonim, whether that din itself, the first essay in the Shev Shmaitzah is about that, whether that din of sofik deraisa luchumra, is that din itself min haTorah, is that min derabbanan? So the Rambam's opinion, the Rambam and the Ravid. The Ravid happens to agree with the Rambam on this unusual opinion. That Sofik Deraisa Luchumra itself is only mid Rabbanan. And Rashi and most of the Rishonim hold that Sofik Deraisa Luchumra is a din Deraisa. But that is the din, Sofik Deraisa Luchumra. Sofik Mamayna is Lakula. When you have a Sofik Maman, if you're a Mukhzak, so where is the Mukhzak keeps it? You say Sofik Mamayna Lakula Lahanitra. In Sofik Tumra, the Gol Luchumra Lakula, so it depends whether it's Bishu Sayachar or Bishu Sarabim. So the way to be machriya b'makam sofik is totally different in the three areas of tuma v'tara, indeed imamid is in isa v'heter, because each area is a separate category. This is a big machlokes when you learn the first daf in nida. This topic that Tesis discusses on Tesalon base, that gemar the beginning of shnei nazirim, the third person who is reisi, echem nikem shenitma. He's standing next to the two Nazirim, standing at the other end of the room. He knows that one of them became a Tommy Mace, and the Mishnah says you bring Alatanai, you bring the Korban Nozatum Alatanai, either for Reuben or for Shimon, and then you bring at the end of 30 days, you bring the two Karbanis Naziris Tahara, because they both terminated the Naziris then. So this whole discussion that Tosfos has, this whole thing is discussed in Tosfos on the first staff in Nida as well. So there in Nida, Tosfos has a machlokes. It appears in other Baba Kama, it appears in other Mesichtas as well, whether the Kloli HaPsak of Sofik Tuma Bishus HaYochid versus Bishus HaRabim, do the Kloli HaPsak only apply to Tumas Mago or even to Tuma HaYotza Olami Gufoy? We must have spoken about that a little bit. All the Tmeim are divided into two different categories. Tumah Yotza Olami Gufoy is like a Zav Zava Nidi Aledas and Mitzora. The Tumah develops by me. Masha'inikain, if I pick up a dead sheretz, I go to a funeral, or I touch a person who is a Zava or Mitzora, so I was Mekabel Tumah Libachutz. It didn't develop in my body. And so the Gemara makes such a distinction between Tumah Yotza Olami Gufoy. The Gemara makes a distinction on the level of the Raisa with respect to entering into the Harabayas. Tumeim are not permitted, it says in Parshas Naso, in the beginning of Chumash Bamid, Parshas Naso, you have the din of Shiloh Tumeim and Amachne. So the word Machne appears three times in the Pasuk, and there are three Tumeim are mentioned, Shalcham and Amachne, Kol Tzarua, V'chol Zav, V'chol Tomil, and Nofesh. So the Gemara understands that the three Machnes, that the word Machne is mentioned three times there in Parshas Naso, is a Gemara in Psochim. So the Gemara says that one machne is talking about machne shchina, where all the tmeim are prohibited to enter, even a tummy mace. The other machne is talking about machne levia. That's what Harabayis has a status like machne levia, where only one who has a tumah hayotza lemigufa is prohibited to enter. But min haTorah tummy mace is permitted to enter the whole Harabayis. with the Rabbanon, they divided Harabais into three different parts. So Tamei Meisa is not allowed to enter into the inner part. But on the level of the Raisa, the Tamei Meis, or the one who touched the Zava, the one who's Mekabel Tumah from Misheretz, so they're permitted to enter into the Harabais. It's only with the Rabbanon that they're not allowed to enter the inner section. And then Yerushalayim has a lower level of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. The most serious level of Kedush HaMikdash is the Azara, and all Tameim are prohibited. Then Harabais is a slightly lower level of Lifnei Hashem, and all who are Tamei Tumah Yotzal Megufa are forbidden men atar to enter. Then Yerushalayim is a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash, Kochim Kalim and all of Yerushalayim. So there, only the Metzorah is forbidden to enter. If the Metzorah enters Yerushalayim, he gets Malkus, because Allah lo yovel tocha machna. The Metzorah is not allowed to enter all Ayyaris HaMekafas Chomer Shushur Benun also. But that's a big machlekes in the Rishonim, that we only have an Asay, Yishalcha min HaMachna, or there's a Lois Asay as well, lo yovel tocha machna. Are all Ayyaris HaMekafas Chomer really considered like Machna Yisrael? Maybe only Yerushalayim has the din of Machna Yisrael. And there's just an essay that to Yishalchem and Amachna, they're not allowed to enter all the other Ayyaris HaMekavus Chomer. So that's a machlekes in the Rishon. So on the level of the Raisa, we know there is a difference between Tumah Yotzel and Megufay as opposed to Tumah Smagla. Tosis' opinion is that there's another Nafkamina on the level of the Raisa between the two, Tumah Yotzel and Megufay and Tumah Smagla, with respect to Tumah Hutra V'Tzibur. That a korban tzibur may be brought even in the state of tumah, that's only a tumas maga. The Rambam's opinion is only tumas meis. That's a chiddush, that's a unique shita. But Tosfos shita all over, whenever Tosfos talks about the topic, Tosfos understands that all tumas maga, not only tumas meis, maga sheretz and maga zav, any tumas maga, if it's a korban shizmano kavua, korban tzibur is usually korban shizmano kavua, is mutter to bring the tumah, as opposed to tumas riya. Tumah yotel megufa means a tumas riya. Zav zavi nidi aled is a metzera that's a tumah yotel megufa. Then we wouldn't say tumas mutter betziva. Tosfos on kuvdala lamed aleph is talking about a din de rabbanon chalas chutz loretz. Min haTorah chalas only in Eretz Yisrael. So they institute a challah all over the world. That's clearly only with the Rabbanim. As Manazeh, the Gemara says in Ksubis in the second parak, that even in Eretz Yisrael, challah is only with the Rabbanim. When was challah deraisa? Bizman in the days of Yeshua ben Nun. It says, "Bevayachem el haaretz yinid bi'as kulchem." So bi'rishayna, when the Bnei Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael the first time in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, there was a bi'as kulchem. All the Shvatim came together. That's called Bevayachem el haaretz. You have to be mafresh challah. But in Biyashniya, when they came back in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, it was a drop in the bucket. Hardly anybody came back. A very small percentage of an Israel came back. The Jews liked it better in Babel. They didn't want to move to Eretz Yisrael. So even in Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara says the challah during the Biyashniya period was only with the Rabbanah because there was a lack of the Azkulchem. So the Gemara has in Pchoiris, and Av Chavzayin, the Gemara has a list of kulas and chalos chutz loretz because of the fact that it's the Rabbanon on top of the Rabbanon. Chalos Eretz Yisrael b'zman is only with the Rabbanon. Chalos chutz loretz is the Rabbanon on top of the Rabbanon. So one of the several kulas is the chalos chutz loretz. A Kohen Tomei is not allowed to eat it only if he has a tumah yotzo l'migufoy. If he's a Balkeri, if he's a Zav, or the woman is a Zavi, a Lettuce, Mitzurah, something like that. So Tosfos points that out on Kuvdal and Amin Aleph. There's a Tosfos Dibur Malchus Chol Chalos Chutzlort, gigantic Tosfos. So part of that Tosfos, they mentioned that about Chalos Chutzlort, they quote the Mishnayos. That's how they interpret the Mishnayos. Yeah. That's on a level of the Rabbanon. There's a difference between. So Tosfos in the beginning of the first Daf and Nida, when they're talking about this story, we say Echem Nekem Shenitma, but the three people. So Tosfos there raises the question, do the Kloli HaPsak of Sofik Tumah B'Shu Sayach in L'chumra, Tomei Vadai, our Tosfos proves in the Gemara, on test on the base, they prove Sofik Tumah B'Shu Sayach is Tomei Vadai, Sofik Tumah B'Shu Sayach is Tohar, period, it's Tohar. and so Kitavushu Seyach is Tamei Vandai, that the Kalali HaPsak only apply between Mishu Seyach and Mishu Zeram. Does it only apply to Tumas Mago, or does it even apply to Tumah HaYotzal HaMegufa? So that's a major machloikis in the Rishonim on the first daf in Nida. We had it in Bava Kamma. When did we learn Bava Kamma? Last year? The Shir Shik Chazid Beis Chodesh, yeah. So I didn't forget yet. So I had it last year. Taisis and Bava Kamma. Yud Aleph, machloikis, Taisis, the Shitim, Kubetzis. Same machloikis in Rishonim, yeah. So the, even if one should assume, there's a sefer called Mein Avtoyach. Mein Avtoyach is a commentary on the Hakdamas HaRambam to say the Taharos. The Rambam wrote a Pirush HaMishnayis, and he wrote a Hakdamah to say the Taharos. They're supposed to be out of this world. Yeah, you have to be a learned person to appreciate it. I didn't look at it enough to appreciate it. But they quote one of the Maskilim said, if we would have only had the Hakdamah, I think, I'm not sure what he said, the Hakdamas HaRambam to Kotchim, Akdamas HaRambam to Taras, one or the other, we would have known that the Rambam was the greatest Gadol in his generation. Just from the, one of the two Akdamas, I forgot which one he said. So this big Talmid Chacham years ago wrote a commentary that's called Mein Avtoyach, a commentary on the Akdamas HaRambam, the Pirush HaMishnayis, the Taras. On the top of the page, the text is the Akdamas HaRambam. On the bottom of the page, he has this commentary. So he points out, even if you should follow that opinion in Rishonim, that the Klalei HaPsaks of Hakdama B'Shus HaYachad versus B'Shus HaRabim applies even to Tumas Riya, not only to Tumas Maga, even to Tumas Yotzal HaMegufa, but by Mitzora for sure it doesn't apply. Why? Why is it different? So he explains why. It's a very interesting idea. A Safik Tuma means a Safik if the person is a Zav, or not a Zav. So what's the suffix? Is he tummy like a zav? Is he tohar? He's not like a zav. A suffix, a mitzvah doesn't become tummy until the coin declares him. Even if he has vadai se money tuma, you have to have a psak from the coin. So the two tzadi has suffix by the mitzvah are, is he tohar and there's a mitzvah to declare him as tummy, or is he tohar and there's no mitzvah to declare him as tummy? But there is, that's not called the suffix tuma. It's only called the suffix tuma if the two tzadi has suffix are, is he tohar, is he tummy? That by the Mitzvah, he is not Tomei till the Kohen will declare him as Tomei. So the question is he Tohar with a mitzvah to declare him as Tomei? Or is he Tohar without a mitzvah? So that's he thinks that that's L'chol HaDeis, not considered a Safik Tumah, that it should be governed with the rules and regulations of B'Shus HaYochid and B'Shus HaRabim. He quotes this from the Maharsha. There's a Tosfos later on Yudam and Beis. That's a famous Tosfos, the top Tosfos on that Yudam and Beis. The Gemara we're going to be learning, this is famous sugya. Gemara is a whole sugya. How do you know Azlina Basar Chazoket? How do you know that you go status quo? If a woman was single for the last 19 years, and then there's a suffix of somebody who was Mekadosh her, with the Kedusha Machal, something that Torah say, she has a Cheskas Penuya. So you go Basar Chazoket. Or if a woman is an Eshusish and the husband gives her a get, and there's a suffix whether the get was good or no good. So the woman has a cheska, says she's ish. So you follow chazaka. So all the time like that, you have a piece of meat, and the piece of meat is sitting in the refrigerator, and the milk container is right on top in the shelf above. And the milk was leaking out and fell into the bowl, into the pot with the meat on the bottom. So if it was soaking for 24 hours, kavish kemevushal, then it becomes basa b'cholo. It doesn't become basa b'chol of the rice because basa b'chol of the rice is only derech bishul. If it was cooked together, it was only kavish kamevushal, it's only basa b'chol of the rabbanon. What's the difference about this basa b'chol of the rice and basa b'chol of the rabbanon? Bottom line is basa b'chol of. So the Mishnah says there are two differences. If it's basa b'chol of the rice, it's also b'hanor, and it's also b'bishul. It's only basa b'chol of the rabbanon, let's say chicken and milk. Meat pasta is only the rabbanon. Or kavish kamevushal, if the flesh is soaking in the milk for 24 hours, Kavish kemevushal is only basa b'chol of the rabbanon, so it's only also b'achila. It's muta b'hanor and it's muta b'bishul. Rabbi Soloveitchik told us that there was once a religious man from Boston who was drafted into the army, and they gave him kitchen duty. He had to cook. He had to fry the chicken and butter. So the shaila was, is basa b'chol? He's not allowed to cook basa b'chol. Rabbi Soloveitchik told him that chicken is only basa b'chol of the rabbanon. So it says in Yerei Day, it's a mishnah later and kol basa. That it's only basa b'chol of the rabban, it's muta b'bishul, and it's muta b'hanor, so it's muta to cook it. But if they would ask him to fry meat, with butter, that would be basar v'chalav deraisa. There's an awkward opinion that that butter is only butter is paravim in Atar. It's only cholav in the rabban. It's only considered milk when it's everything's all together. But when you separate it, when you remove the curds from the milk and you're left with whey over here and the curds over there, so the Gemara says that the whey, W-H-E-Y, the whey is only milchig mid the rabbanim. And Atar is not milchig, so there's a far out cheat that we don't really pass on like that. That the curds are also only milchig mid the rabbanim. The Pashto says that that's the essence of the milk is the curds. That's what it's all about. The butter is the essence. When you take out the whey, then you make butter from the curds. That should really be basar l'chol on the rice. So the Gemara is going to have a whole discussion. So let's say the meat is sitting in the refrigerator and the milk dripped in, and I open up the refrigerator and I cannot figure out how long was the meat soaking in the milk. If it was soaking for 24 hours or more, then we assume kavush kemavushal, you can't just hold it under the faucet and rinse it out well and assume that all of the milk is going to come out. But if it's soaking for less than 24 hours, then we assume that you don't say kavush kemavushal. If it's cooked meat, you probably do say kavush kemavushal, even less than 24 hours. But then we're going to get to the details later in the Masechta about kavush kemavushal, when it does apply, when it doesn't apply. So let's say I don't know whether it's soaking for 24 hours or not. If it's soaking for less than 24 hours, then it won't be treif. I'll be able to rinse it out and squeeze out all the milk. So then you should shtalav chazoka. The last time I put the meat in the refrigerator, it was kosher. It's a suffix, did it become treif? So I know it used to be kosher, and now I have a suffix, did the situation change? So I say, no, you shtalav chazoka. That's what Ravuna says, behema b'chaya b'cheskes sisar menes. If you have an animal, a live animal, it's also b'achila. According to Rashi, it's also b'achila because it's behema b'chaya. According to Tosfos in Beitza Daf Chafei Amud Aleph, it's also b'achila because of Enes Vucha, a new Issa, new fangled Issa, Enes Vucha. Other Balei Tosfos said there ain't no such Issa, there's no such pasuk, there is no Issa. There's a din, there's an institution of Shechita, but there's no Issa, Enes Vucha. If it dies without Shechita, it'll be an Avela. But the other Balei Tosfos deny the whole thing. That's probably what motivated Rashi to say Eid Melechai. Rashi probably thinks no such thing as an Issa, Enes Vucha. So if you have a behemoth and you're not sure whether it had a proper shechita or not, so behemoth b'chaya b'cheskes sisar menes, the last year the animal was also b'chila, and you're not sure whether a heter came or not, so yishtalav chazoka. So the Gemara is going to have a whole sugi, menoha milsa damar amaran, where did the rabbis figure this out? Where does it say in Chumash that you go basa chazoka? Where does it say you go basa roiv? That's easier. It says achrab m'latas. The Gemara says also that Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim doesn't solve the whole problem. That happens to be a Ruba de Issa Kamon. You have a Sanhedrin, but there's a split vote. Sanhedrin of 23 for Nefoshes, a Bezn of 3 for Dinim Amenis, and you have a split vote. So the Torah says you go Basar Reb. So maybe that's only a Ruba de Issa Kamon. How do you know that you follow Ruba de Leisa Kamon, whatever is Minik or Ilum? How do you know you follow that? Robeim's Chavis. How do you know? The Gemara is going to discuss a whole Sugi. How do you know? But first, the Gemara discusses, how do you know that you go basa chazoka? So the Gemara says, you learn it out from Bayis HaMenuga, Tzara'as Batim. It could be that Tzara'as, one Tana in the Gemara says, Tzara'as Batim, L'hoiva, L'yasid Li'as, it never happened, never will be. The conditions are so far-fetched, it's never going to happen. V'lam nechta v'drosh v'kabal schar. But bottom line, it's written there in the Chumash. There is a parsha in the Chumash, drosh v'kabal schar, there is a parsha of Tzara'as Batim. So the Kohen looks at the Negat Tzara'as, and he sees it has a gris. Then it says, V'yatza ha-koyen el michut. Kol zman ha-koyen doesn't declare that the bais is tomei, so there's no tumah. Tzaras depends on the koyen declaring tomei. If he declares tomei on a house where he wasn't supposed to, on a person wasn't supposed to, so it's not chal. It has to correspond to the rules and regulations of simoni tumah. And then you need the psak ha-koyen. The koyen has to declare that it's tomei. So the pasuk says, the kohen goes and he looks at the neged tzaras and he sees toy takanish. It's a bad news. He's going to have to declare that it's tamei. But if he's going to declare right away it's tamei, he's going to become tamei. He doesn't want to become tamei. It's going to be a pain in the neck. So the yatzar kohen mechutz abayis. He walks till he goes out of the house, and now he declares that it's tamei. So it's tamei mikan al haba. It's not the lord milsam afreir was always tamei. It's only tamei mikan al haba from the psak hakohen. So the gemara asks, how did the kohen know that it still has a sheer kigris? He was looking at it a minute ago, but he walks out. Tzaras is sometimes funny. What's the din if you come at the end of the week and you see that it's no longer a gris? The claim declares now, let's say, that it's a bais muzgar. It's tamei tsaras bais muzgar. Then he comes at the end of the week to see whether he should declare that it's a mukhlat or not, bais mukhlat. So, and he comes at the end of the week and the neged tsara shrank. So how do you know that it had a neged? How do you know that it had a sheer gris when he declared bais yehi muzgar? Maybe it shrank. We don't know. It's not a natural thing. Tsaras batam is not a natural machla. It's not a natural event. So maybe even though when he looked at it, it had a gris, when he walked out, maybe right away it jumped down to less than a gris. He never had the right in the first place to declare that it's tamei. So the Gemara says, you see that you go bosa chazoka, the fact that the kohen can declare that the bais is tamei, the bais is muzgar, the bais is muchlot, whatever, we assume that he just looked at it a minute ago and it had a sheer gris, we assume it still has a sheer gris. So that's the Gemara's proof. The Gemara says, how do you know? Maybe when he walks out from the bias, he's walking backwards. Maybe he's walking backwards and he's still staring at it. And maybe the only time the neged tsaras will become tamei, if after he walks out of the bias, he can still see that that it still retained the sheer kigris. So the Gemara discusses it. Can you or can you not prove in that pasuk that is there an institution of chazokin, status quo? Since it had a gris a minute ago, Yusam still has a gris now. So Tosis is bothered with the kasha, the top line on Yudam and Beis. The Gemara tells the caption and the Tevu Dilma Adonofik, maybe when the coin is walking out of the house, Va'asi Adonofik, Va'asi, while the coin is walking out till the outside of the house, maybe the shear shrank. Maybe when the coin declares that it's a Ba'is Tamei, maybe no longer has a shear gris. So it must be that you rely on Chazok. The Tosfos asks the kasha, Ein lahakshes. Shouldn't ask the following kasha. Hechemuchach mehachadukim milsach hazokei. Just because the coin declares that it's tamei, that's a, how can that serve as a proof that you follow hazokei? Ishtal of status quo. It didn't change, it stayed the same. Dilma hochad tamei misofek. Maybe it's because sofek tumah b'shus hayoch. It's fake tamei. The house is a rishus, it's not a rishus haram for Shabbos purposes. It's a house. And there's nobody there. The coin walked out. If you would have three people in the house, it would be a Rishus Haram. You don't have. It's a Rishus Hayochid. It's a Rishus Hayochid for Shabbos purposes. It's a house. It's a Rishus Hayochid that you don't have three people there. So maybe the din that the coin should declare it as Tomei is because of the rule of Sofik Tomei Rishus Hayochid, Sveika Tomei. Dilma Hocha Tomei Misofik, the Sofik Tomei Rishus Hayochid, Sveika Tomei. That's their kasha. That's their kasha. So in the kasha, Tosfos obviously is assuming that the rules and regulations, even applies to tzaras batim. So that's what the Marsho and the main Avtoach claim. You can answer Tosfos kasha by saying it's 2 days in Tosfos on the first daf and need and above common other mesichtas. Whether the rules of b'shus hayachid versus b'shus harabim only applies to tumas magor, even to tumah yotzal migufay. But even if it does, even if the rules do apply to Tumi Yotzal Megufa, it could be that Mitzorah should be an exception to the rule. Because Mitzorah, even if he's really Tumi, it's not Tumi by itself. You're missing the Psak HaKoyin. Maybe it's only called the Sofik Tumi, where the Tut Stari HaSofik are. Is it Tumi, is it Tohar? But over here, the Tut Stari HaSofik are, is it Tohar with a mitzvah letamoso, or is it Tohar without a mitzvah letamoso? So that's a Sofik mitzvah. Maybe that's not called a Sofik Tumi. So that's Tosfos is assuming, Tosfos is making two major assumptions in their kasha. Number one, that the klali hapsaka b'shus harabim even apply the tuma, which is not tumas maga, this is like a tumas riya. And number two, that it even applies to tumas tzaras. So there's room, that's what the main avtarach has a whole arich, there's room to disagree. Then Tosfos gives an answer. The answer is very strange. And for Tosfos, it's like on the third line, it's like the Yeshlema. So Tosfos answers the Bechol Inyan Timi HaKosuk. The pasuk says the Bais is Tami under all circumstances. Afilu Rishus Harab Sheyesh Baharbe Ben Yodim. Chumash doesn't say that the Kohen can only declare it as Tomei if there's nobody in the house. Then it's a Rishus HaYochid. Maybe the Kohen doesn't want to become Tomei. So he walked out of the house. Maybe there's a big crowd of people standing around in the house. So then it'll be a Rishus HaRabim.
Would it This was suffix is whether or not there's a tumah here, not whether or not the tumah was becoming the person. That's why it doesn't apply.
No, not because of Mahomer. No, because it's a different category. Yeah. By the Tumas Maga, there is a Dava Hamatamei. It's a suffix whether I touched it or not. But here it's a suffix. Is there a Dava Hamatamei?
So if there was a case where there was a suffix, not Tumay, it's a legal, but another suffix whether there was a Dava Hamatamei, suffix whether there was a Sheretz somewhere, suffix whether, so then it would also not apply with Bible Observer, suffix whether there was a Mason in Ohio. So then.
You got to learn the Mishnayos. I don't think so. I don't think we distinguish, no. I don't know. Taisus, I think, Taisus doesn't give any hasberim. They just say, that's a different category of tumah. I don't know. L'hok al-hachmer, it just says different category. So Taisus gives one answer, is b'chol le'niti me'akosuv apil ha'vi l'shu sarab. Even if you have a lot of people there. A house is a l'shu sayochet for Shabbos purposes, but if you have three people, then it's l'shu sarab for tumah purposes that we had the Taisus on the previous daf on Testament Beis, quoted the Gemara Perek Shnei Nezirim. Then they give another answer. V'afilu dova she'en bo das lishoel also. The Torah says that when the Kohen walks out of the house, he declares it is Tomei. It can't be based on Sofik Tumah b'shus hayochid sveika Tomei, because that only applies, this is what the Gemara points out on Testament Beis. The klala Sofik Tumah b'shus hayochid sveika Tomei only applies when it's Yesh Bo Das Lishol. Where are you learning all this out from? Sofik Tumah B'shus HaYochid versus B'shus HaRam. Everything is learned out from the Soita. That the Soita had Kinu Yestira, and the Stira was, she did Yichud with that person that the husband is Chorshed her business. And there was only she and that person. If there would be a third person, there wouldn't be any Yichud. It wouldn't be called Stira. If there's no Yichud, there's no Stira. So if you have three people, the whole din of Saita Sofik doesn't apply. So we carry all of this, and the Chumash uses the word Vinitmo, very strange usage. Vinitmo usually means Tumah V'Tara. Over here, it doesn't really mean Tumah V'Tara, it means that the woman is Asura Bailo. She was Mizana Tachas Bailo. So why did the Chumash use such a Lashon, such a strange Lashon? So we said that Avnei Nezer had his fantastic suggestion. He quoted the Kuzari. I think we mentioned that more than once. He quotes a Kuzari that the Melech HaKuzarim asks the rabbi, asks the chaver, you people claim you're orthodox and you claim you follow everything that it says in the Bible. Why? Every time you touch a dead a mouse, so you go to the mikveh. Every time the husband is a balkari, he goes to the mikveh. He doesn't see them going to the mikveh so much. There's so many times. In the slaughterhouse, sometimes you make an avela, so the shoychid goes to the mikveh because he handled the nevela. They're not going to the mikveh. So the rabbi, the chavir, tells the melech HaKuzarim, no, Adoni HaMelech, no, you don't understand. The old din of Tumah V'Tara is only relevant when we live near the Beis HaMikdash. When you live in Eretz Yisrael, there's Truma, there has Kedusha, there's Maaseh Sheni, there are Kabbonis, there's a Makom HaMikdash. So Tumah is attacked to the Sasri with Kedusha. We live so far away, he lived in the middle of Russia. The Kuzarim were ruling a big chunk of Russia for a few years. I spoke about it, no? Under the Kabbalah, no? Different Shia. Different year, different Shia. No, under the communists, they didn't allow the publication of any of the historical research about the Kuzarim, because they didn't want the world to know that the Jews were ruling a big chunk of Russia for many, many years. After communism collapsed, then they had a big article in the New York Times. Finally, the historians were able to publish their research that the Kuzarim were Jewish. It's not above a Maisa. The Sefer HaKuzari by Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, that's a historical novel. We're not sure exactly how all the details worked out. But that the Kuzarim were Jewish, and they had connection with the rabbis in Cordova, in Spain, and they would visit them, and they would send them correspondence, and they were Paschal Shabbos with them, and they had a government, they were ruling a big section of Russia. That's not a historical novel, that's real history. That was really true. So the chover, the rabbi, tells the Melech HaKuzarim, Adoni HaMelech, you don't understand. The whole inyan of Tumah V'Tara is that it's tied to the sasri with Kedusha. So if you have Truma and your tummy, or the Truma's tummy, you can't eat. If you have Maaseh Sheni, has Kedusha, can't eat a korban, it can't enter the Beis HaMikdash in the state of Tumah. We live so far away, we have no Maaseh Sheni, we have no Kachin, we have no Trumah, so it's irrelevant. So the whole story is irrelevant. So he said, but the married women do go to Mikvah. What is that all about? So he said, no, that has nothing to do. Neither the Baila has nothing to do with Tumah V'Tara. That's what Rabbi Yosef Engel says. The Talmidim of the Gro quoted, they dam le dam, they din le din, they nega le nega. Dam le dam is dam nida and dam tohar. That's Isa the Heta. Din le din is dinam amis, nega le nega is tumma le tara. But nida le baila should be part of tumma le tara. So you see from the psukim, like the Kuzari said, you see from the psukim, that dam le dam, whether the woman is a nida le baila, is called Isa the Heta. It's not a function of whether she's tamei or not. There are cases where the woman will be an av hatuma, she'll be a nida, and she'll be materis labaila. There are cases the woman will be a sur labaila, and she's not an av hatuma. So the nida labaila and nida the taris are unrelated. Rabbi Chana Basman has a long essay in the Sefer on Yevamos. It gives you cases where you can split between a nida labaila and nida the taris. That's the way they quote from the Vilna Gaon. Bein dam le dam is isa leheta. Bein nega le nega is tuma vetar. So the So again, we were saying the Avnei Nezer. Why does the Chumash use the verb v'nitma three times? V'nitma, v'nitma, v'nitma. The Gemara says echel lebal, echel lebal, echel letruma. The nation says she's inso, she's soita, she's asur al baila. She's asur if the husband divorces her, she's not allowed to marry the boil, and then she's not allowed to eat truma, even though she's a bas kohen. If she became a zayna is not allowed to eat truma. So the Avnei Nezer explained, why does the Chumash use such a strange expression with Itma? Tuma usually is a tata de sasur with Kedusha. What is it talking about over here? So he says that the Gemara says in the first half in Kedusha, Haret Mekudesh Asli is a Lishna de Rabbanan. It's not a biblical expression. And it's not a biblical Hebrew. In biblical Hebrew, if one would speak in biblical Hebrew, he wants a marigold, he says, Haret Ishti, Haret Arusasi, Hariat Nisuosi, Hariat Salosi, Hariat Negdosi, Ezekinek, the Hariat Ezrasi, Ikbekech Achas bin Salosi, Rebanishlam, take a tzela, took a tzela, and he made chava. So that would be a biblical. Hariat Mukudeshusli is a Mishnah de Rabbanim. It's not in biblical Hebrew. So Yosef Engel quotes Achronim, but the concept is a biblical concept. The concept that when a couple is married, there's an added element of Kedusha. And when the wife is mezana tachas baila, that contradiction to the kedusha. That's why it says when itmo, like the chaver says to the melech haguzarim, that tum is attacked as sasri with kedusha. So the assumption is the gemara says in soita, it sounds like a balatur machumish, but it's a gemara in soita ish v'isha shchina shure benen, because the word ish has a yud, and the word isha has a hey. So you have the yud and the hey is one of the zayin shem shein and the chokma v'kadosh baruch hu. So we assume when a couple gets married, there's an element of Kedusha that's introduced into their lives. And if the Yeshus Ish is Mezana Tachas Baila, that's a contradiction to the Kedusha. That's Soisa the Kedusha. And it's Poigim the Ishus Bin Mikza. So he's explaining, that's why it says Vinitmo there. But the Gemara takes, why does it say Vinitmo to be Merame, to allude to the fact that just like Sofik Soita, Saita Sofik Asur Labaila, there was Kini Astira, so too, and that's only if they're the wife with the boil, with the man that the husband is suspecting she's having an affair with. So if there are only two people in the room, if there are three people in the room, then it's not called the stira. The whole din doesn't apply. So the fact that the Chumash uses the verb vinitma, vinitma, vinitma three times leads us to understand that we're taking these dinim, and we're saying by tuma also, sofik tuma shus hayochid is l'chumer. If it would have been three people, it would have been a shus harabim, then sofik tuma shus haram would be l'kula. But if it's two people, then we say sofik tuma shus hayochid is l'chumer. Everything is based on that parsha. So in that parsha, the wife and the suspected boil are intelligent people. They don't have to be such big geniuses, but they're adults. And you can ask them. They may not tell you the truth. That's called Yesh Bodas L'Shol. We can ask him, were you being Mizana together or not? They might not want to tell you the truth. So the whole din of Sofik Tumah V'Shusayach and Sveika Tomei only applies if the Dovah HaMakabal Tumah is a Yesh Bodas L'Shol. But if the Dovah HaMakabal Tumah is, what does Mara say? Kikore Shal Truma. Kikore Shal Truma is not a human being. Ochlim, Mashkim, Kalim, the four categories of things that are Makabal Tum. Adam, Kalim, Ochlim, and Mashkim. So the only time you say Safik Tumah, Bishu Sayach, it's Veka Tameh, if it's Adam, and the Adam is an adult, if it's a Tinoik, Tinoik Shenimtsa Vesad Ho'isa, a Tinoik is a young child. It's called Emodas Lishol, so that Tinoik. You would say, even Bishu Sayach, it would say Sveka Lohokel. So if it's Tumah Bishu Sayachid, but the Dov HaMakabal Tumah is Emodas Lishol, because not a human being, Bechalal, or it's a child. Emodas Lishol, then you go to Kula. So that's what Achrayim, the Mashon, and others ask on Tosis. What did Tosis say there? Yuram and Beis, the top Tosis. Tosis, they ask Takasha, how can you prove from the fact that the Chumash says, the Kohen looks at the Negatzaras, and the Yotzah Kohen in the Chutzla Bais, he walks out of the Bais. So obviously he's not staring, he can't see the Negatzaras anymore. And he paskens that the Bais is tummy. Maybe it shrank, maybe it no longer has the Shir Kigris. So how does he know that the Bais is really tummy? Maybe it shrank before he declared it as being tummy. So Tosfos says, no, it can't be based on Safik Tumah Bishu Sayachid, because number one, the Chumash isn't even talking about a case, even if you have Harbe Bnei Adam, even if you have three people standing there in the bias, that had the status of Bishu Sarabim. And also, even if it would have been a Dovish Eim Bodas Lishoyal, we would also go to Chumash. Dovish Eim Bodas Lishoyal, you always go to Kula, even Bishu Sayachid. I feel the Dovish Eim Bodas Lishoyal also, you would go to Chumrah because of the Cheskas Shir Kigris. So what does it mean? Even if it happens to be a case of Dovish Eimer, Tzaraz Batim is always Eimer Das Lishol. You're talking about the Bais is Tomei. The Bais is not a Bardas. The Bais always, what do they write? Even if it happens to be a case of Eimer Das Lishol. Every single case of Tzaraz Batim is Eimer Das Lishol. So the Loshan HaTais is Epis Megumgum, something wrong. The first half of Tosfos, the first answer we understand. The Chumash says, V'yotzakon mechutz la'bais, and he declares that it's tummy. Even if you have harbe bin adam in the bais, then it is called the Rishus HaRabin. So you see, it's not based on so the fact that the Kohen declares that it's tummy. It's not based on Sofik Tumma Rishus HaYachat, Sveik HaTomim, B'Teres Vadai. Can't be based on that, because sometimes it'll be Rishus HaRabin. But the second answer that they say, even if it happens to be a Dovash HaMidash, it's always a Dovash HaMidash Rishon. That's what the Gemara on this daf is quoting all of these dinim. Yeah, what's a din sofik deraisa lechumra? How much of a sofik is it that you say sofik deraisa lechumra? A 50-50 sofik. What if it's 85% in one direction and 15% in the other direction? But that's not a sofik deraisa lechumra. Let's say it's 85%. The likelihood is, the roiv is that it's tahar. The roiv is, let's say, in Issa v'heta, not tumah v'tahara. You say, Sofik deraisa l'chumra, Sofik is tumah l'chumra. What if it's a roiv? 85% likelihood that it's mutter, and a 15% chance that it's osa. So that's not called Sofik deraisa l'chumra. That's covered with the pasuk, acharav l'hatas. You follow the roiv. The roiv says that it's tahar. What about sakana? If there's a din, you're not allowed to put your life in sakana. Where do you learn that out from? So the Gemara in Bracha says from the pasuk, "Nishmata miyoda nafshasech." That's a question. Is that really, does such a Gemara really exist? The Gemara tells a story that a chassid was once davening, a Tana, in the days of the Tana. A Tana was davening, and a Nochri came by, and he started a conversation with him, and he didn't respond because he was in the middle of the Shemona Esrei. And then when he finished, so the Nochri said, "You violated the pasuk in your Bible that says, 'Nishmarta me'od anav shesechem.' I could have killed you while you were davening." So he said, "No, I knew you weren't going to kill me." So the goy told that to the chassid, "You violated 'Nishmarta me'od anav shesechem.'" So the marshor there on that gemara says, that's not really the pasuk. "V'nishmarta me'od anav shesechem ki lo risim kol t'muna v'yom dibra Hashem imochem mahar Sinai." It doesn't go on watching your health, your good health. You shouldn't get sick, you shouldn't die. It goes when Ishmael and Asher Sechem, be careful not to worship Abba the Zara. Because Kiloris and called Tmuna. When Maimon Hasina took place, there was no Tmuna because God is invisible and it's Elkei Ha'ilam and he's not a statue and he's not a pestle. So the Pasuk doesn't go on taking care of your good health. There is a din, you're not allowed to put your life in Sakana. You're not allowed to commit suicide. That's the pasuk in the end of Parshas Noach. It says, "Achaz dimcha l'nafshu sechem." This person not allowed to commit suicide. He's not allowed to be negligent about his health. He's not allowed to be overweight. Some of my best friends are overweight. Stuck in Aveira. You have to, you live longer. You have to take care of your health, okay? But it's questionable whether that pasuk is the correct mocker. The Rambam quotes that pasuk. The Shmat Melam, the Rambam quotes it. But that's the question. The Masha says on that Gemara. That's what the Goy said to the Chassid. But in truth, that's not really a good mocker. So let's say you have a suffix, but there's something is Osir. And you have a roif, the likelihood is 85% is lahakel, that it's mutter, and the 15% chance that it's asa. So what's the din? Safik deraisa l'chumra? No, that's not a safik deraisa, it's not 50-50. That's holchem achar haroif. Acharam lahatas, we follow the posik. Acharam lahatas, the original posik, acharam lahatas, is talking about a split vote in the Besen, but also included in the posik that you follow whatever the probability is, whatever the likelihood is. What if you have a safik sakana? 85% likelihood is that there's no sakana, 15% chance that there is a sakana. So the Gemara says, in the end of the first parak in Ksubis, the Gemara has a klala, hocha b'pruach nefashu sachar haroif. You're not allowed to follow roif when it comes to safik sakana. Let's say someone takes sick on Shabbos. And the odds are that if you wait till after Shabbos, you take him to the hospital, he will also survive. There's a 15% that he may die unless you take him on Shabbos, but there's 85% likelihood that he will survive. So you have to take him to the hospital on Shabbos. Or let's say he's so sick, the doctors say 85% likelihood, even if you drive to the hospital, he's going to die anyway. There's a 15% chance that he may save his life. So even if it's only 2% chance he may save his life, even if there's a sex faker, whenever there's any slight suffix, sakana nefasha is nowhere near 50-50. You still consider it a suffix sakana. So the question is, let's say a person has an ingrown toenail. So Mistama in the newspaper, the National Enquirer, that they sell in the A&P, so Mistama will have headlines that someone died from an ingrown toenail. They have all these funny stories there. So Mistama, that someone dies every year from an ingrown toenail, no, from blood poisoning or something like that. So you would say, you're allowed to drive to the hospital on Shabbos. The guy has an ingrown toenail and it hurts him a lot. So what's taka the din? There's one chance in 1,000, one chance in 20,000 that he's going to some. One out of every 20,000 people that have an ingrown toenail will die from the blood poisoning. Are you allowed to drive to the hospital or not? So what's the din? So the Gemara says the din is there's a pasuk in Tehillim that's printed in the Siddur. Shomer Psayim Hashem, Taloisev Gui Hashia. Shomer Psayim Hashem means HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect the foolish people who don't take care of their own health. So when does that klal apply? So it's a Gemara in the first parak in Yevamos. Gimel Nashim Misham Shez B'moich. So what it means is Rav Chaim Moshe has a tshuva and he quotes many major poskim who say this. They say whenever you have a suffix sakana, that's nowhere near 50-50. It's a 1% chance that the guy's going to die or something like that. 99% chance that everything is fine and 1% chance that he's going to die. Or 99% chance he's going to die even if you drive him to the hospital. 1% chance that maybe we'll save his life by driving to the hospital on Shabbos, even though it's far-fetched. So it all depends on that individual person. So if the person is nervous to the extent he thinks that this may save his life, he's nervous about it, then for that person it's called the suffix sakana. And if he personally is not nervous, then we apply Shem Epsayim Hashem. He's a pesi. Because Pesi Yamel Holdaba, he's not nervous about anything. So if he personally is not nervous, then it's not called the suffix sakana. He's nervous, and it is called the suffix sakana. I remember when there was the first Gulf War. So this doctor from Florida chartered a plane, an El Al flight there at Israel, and boys from Yeshiva and girls from Stone College went to give chizit during intercession, to give chizit to the Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. Because the Jews in America, I went along with some of my children, and we thought it was a big joke. We thought Saddam Hussein is going to drop bombs in Eretz Yisrael. The whole thing was a joke. When we came there, it wasn't such a joke. He was dropping some bomb missiles. But so many people, and many Americans, many B'nai Chutzlots who were spending the year in Eretz Yisrael, left and went to Chutzlots because of the Sakana. And people from America went to Eretz Yisrael. So the question, who's doing right? We're putting ourselves into Sakana and they're running away from the Sakana. Who's right and who's wrong? The answer is they're both right. If it's a far-fetched Sakana, it was nowhere near 50-50. So for the person who's nervous, that is called a suffix sakan. For the person who's not nervous, he says Shem Psalm Hashem. For him, it's not a suffix sakan. They're both right. The ones who are running away are right. The ones who are running to Eretz Yisrael, they're also right. For the one who's nervous. They have in the old biography of the Chazon Ish. He spoke about this. They have in the old biography of the Chazon Ish came to Eretz Yisrael before the Second World War. So in the war, the Eretz Yisrael is centrally located. It's the link between Europe, Asia, and Africa. And it was always, for war purposes, the one who has control of Eretz Yisrael has a big control of a big chunk of that big landmass of Europe, Asia, Africa. So the Nazis wanted to control Eretz Yisrael. So they were dropping bombs all over. That's when they started to lose the war. When they started to take, they wanted to take over Eretz Yisrael, then there was a turn, they were winning a lot. And then that's when they started to go downhill and they lost the end. So they didn't have radar. They didn't know, they wouldn't send planes to drop bombs in the middle of the day because you can shoot down the planes. You can see them, you can shoot them down. So they only send the planes at night. At nighttime, they can't see where to drop the bombs. So they would only be able to identify a city because they see a lot of lights on. They know the general direction where the city, they didn't have radar. So they know the general direction where the city is. So if all the lights are on, so they figure out that's where they have to drop the bombs. So if the government would hear that the Nazis are coming to drop bombs, so they would ring a siren, and everybody know you have to turn out the lights. I was a little boy in the war, so in America they were practicing. And the Nazis never came to America, but they were practicing. So they would put on a siren at night, and everybody had turned out the lights in the house. Every so often it happened on a Friday night. The government would want you to turn out the lights. So my father didn't turn out the lights. There was no suffix sakana. So the police would come to your door and they'd give you a penalty why you didn't turn out the lights. And my father explained to them, he's an Orthodox rabbi, you're not allowed to turn out the lights. If it's a real sakana, then we would. But it's only practice. So twice, I think. I think he got away with it twice, and once he didn't. Or maybe, if I can, maybe twice he did have to pay the penalty, once he didn't. Yeah, but in Eretz Yisrael, it was a real sakana. The Nazis were there, so they were taka dropping bombs. So if the British know that the Nazis are coming, they know that there's a plane that wants to drop bombs, so they would turn on the siren, and everyone would turn out the lights. So they asked the Chazon Ish, what if you live in a village and you hear faintly, faintly from a distance, you hear the siren from a different city, very far away? Is it considered a suffix sakana where you are, that you're allowed to turn out the lights on Friday night? So the Chazon Ish said over a story that happened with the Chafetz Chaim, that he had heard that the Chafetz Chaim once spent quite a few hours in the city Lodz. Lodz was a big city in Poland. And different people came to ask Eitzes from the Chafetz Chaim. So two Balabatim asked the same shayla one after the other, but an hour or two in between. They asked the exact same shayla. They have a job, they're Shomer Shabbos, they have a job. But because they're Shomer Shabbos, they don't have any savings. And this anti-Semitism is building up. And in case it'll get so bad that they'll have to run to save their lives, they don't even have enough money saved away in a savings account to buy a train ticket to leave. Are they permitted to be Mechal Shabbos, to take a job to be Mechal Shabbos, to put away money in a savings account that in case it comes time that you'll have to run for your life, that they'll be able to save their lives? So he asked the first one, you really think that getting a job to be Mechal Shabbos, you really think there's a chance that that will save your life? So he said he doesn't think so. He thinks it's ridiculous. Either he's going to get killed or not, but his friends are winding him up. They said he should take a job to be Mechal Shabbos. So the Chafetz Chaim told him, if you personally are not nervous, then for you it's not called a suffix sakana. Then an hour or two later, another Jew came and asked the exact same shayla. So he asked the Chafetz Chaim, do you personally think that that may make or break the saving of your life? He said, yes. If he'll have his savings, there's a chance that he'll be able to save his life. Then he said, then for you it's a suffix sakana. That's because that's Rab Chaim Moiser writes in his Shuvas. He quotes a few Achrayim who say, five or six Achrayim who say like this. Whenever this Pasuk, Shem Epsayim Hashem, is used by the Gemara in cases where the suffix Sakon is nowhere near 50-50, So then the din is, it depends. We're nowhere near 50-50. Then the din is, it depends on each individual person. If he personally is nervous, then it's called, he personally thinks that this may save his life. He's nervous, this may be a sakana, and this may be a solution to the sakana. Then for him, it's a suffix sakana. And for the other one who's not nervous, then for the other person, not a suffix sakana.
Couldn't you make a chiluk in the case where they're bombing a city far away, since if you keep your lights on,
yeah,
everyone, so you,
yeah,
but
they don't tell you the punchline. I think the punchline was, if one person in the village is nervous, then everybody has to turn out the lights. I think so. It doesn't mean for the one who's nervous, he should turn out the lights and other people can leave the lights on. I think that's what he meant. I don't think they tell the yendas, they just say that. He said over in the Chavetz Chaim and he applied it here. Yeah, so that's called Shem Yisrael Hashem. I don't know. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he talks about this. He doesn't like that pshat. He doesn't like this suggestion that Shem Yisrael Hashem only a play. He talks about smoking, whether smoking is a sakana. Some people are not nervous. Some people are nervous. But the Surgeon General said that it's a real sakana. So do you have to be worried about it? Or do you still have the right to say Shem Yisrael Hashem? It is near 50-50. Maybe it's even worse than 50-50. A guy's a chain smoker. Maybe it's worse than 50-50, Sufik Sakan. So Rav Moshe doesn't like that pshat. What Rav Chaim Moizer quoted from all the classical Chaim, he didn't have access to those svar. He says he doesn't think it depends how close it is to 50-50. But the Pasha pshat is, like Rav Chaim Moizer said, if it's very far away from 50-50, then you say Shamem Psaim Hashem. So we have Sufik Sakana is a real din. Either the goy's pasuk v'nishmatam yod nafshe seichem, or some other pasuk, whatever. Achaz dimcha nafshe seichem medrash, whatever pasuk you're gonna quote. And there's a din of safek sakana. In the days of the Tanaim, there was an Indian, you're not allowed to drink mai megulim. The Gemara has some of the dinim here. Mai megulim, you're afraid that maybe a snake spits some poison into the water, into the milk, into the wine. Whatever, the Gemara says that there are three bashkim where there's a concern of gilui. I think the Gemara says water, wine, and milk, that they may have spit in poison. So Tosis writes later in Kol HaBasar that we live in communities where there are no snakes. We live in cities. There are no snakes. So there's no din of mai megulim. You don't apply the rule. Whenever the Chachamim prohibited something for a certain reason, even if you live in a community, even if you live in a generation, but the whole reason doesn't apply at all, the Gzeirah d'Rabbanan still applies, and you have to observe the Din d'Rabbanan. So Tosfos says it doesn't apply to Mai Megulim. Mai Megulim was never Gzeirah d'Rabbanan. The Chacham just said, there's a Pasuk on Chumash, the Goy's Pasuk, or the Rama, or whoever's Pasuk, the Pasuk on Chumash that says, you have to watch out for your good health. So the Tanaim just said, open your eyes and watch out for Mai Megulim. There's a chance that you may be drinking poison. So they never made Gzeirah d'Rabbanan. They just pointed out, here this is Safek Sakana. So this then applies. If you live in a community, you live in a generation where there's no snakes around in your city, so shine. So there's no concern. I don't know, someone just, they just sent me from Tarvadas. Tarvadas puts, like we put out the Beis Yitzchak every year, Chidush Torah by the Rabbeim and by the Talmidim, so Tarvadas puts out HaMesifta for many years. So they just celebrated their 100th anniversary of the founding of Yeshiva Tarvadas. So they put out two volumes of HaMesifta. So they sent me, so one of the Rabbeim in the Yeshiva, maybe it's a retired Rabbi, and one of the Rabbeim wrote a whole essay that when you go to the mountains on vacation, you're not allowed to drink Mai Megulim, because of the concern of the poison and the snakes. I never heard anybody. Have you ever heard of anybody getting sick because they drank that? There's lead in the water. I never heard anybody got sick because of the poison from the snakes.
Chaim Sabato says that when he was in the Yom Kippur War, the Bedouins used to show the Chayalim the barrels of water that were left overnight. There would be snakes who would get into the water and sleep in the water.
Wow. Okay. Okay. And it was dangerous? There were snakes? The snakes had poison?
Presumably.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I was told by someone who lives in Australia a couple of years ago that they always, in certain neighborhoods, they have to like check their shoes and any openings that are on the floor, because a lot of times there are dangerous spiders that get into the house.
Okay. Okay. So that's what the Gemara says. In every generation, the Rabbanim have to ask the doctors. You have to follow the doctors of your generation. The Rabbanim should ask the doctors, what's the suffix sakana? And if and what if the thing is a far-fetched suffix sakana? I have some kind of food, and it's very questionable. Let's say, there was a tzipor, the bottom line on Testament Aleph. The Gemara quotes a Tosefta. There was a tzipor hamanaka beteena, or achpa hamanaka babatichim. A tzipor was pecking away at some kind of food. A tzipor does not poison. The achbar, a mouse, does not poison. But you have to be concerned. Maybe a snake was pecking away there also. So the Gemara says, yeah, you should be concerned. And even though it's ruba de ruba, the odds are 99 to 1 that there is no poison over here. But that's the Gemara in the end of the first parak in Ksuvis. You're not allowed to follow the right. A svek sveka of a suffix akana is also, you have to go lechumra. You have to be careful not to lose your life. The chai bohem, even a svek sveka. Chai bohem lo shiomis bohem. That's the marker that pikuach nefesh decha kola torkula. So Tosis writes there in Ksub is the end of the first peg. Chai bohem lo shiomis bohem means even any far-fetched chashash is also decha shabbos decha kola torkula. So this Gemara is very strange. One of the Amoraim, Rava, made an equation between Sofek Daraisa Luchume and Sofek Sakanta Luchume. It's not the same. Sofek Daraisa Luchume is only if it's near 50-50. But if it's a clear-cut Rav Lahokel, so you go Lahokel, it's not a Sofek Daraisa. Sofek Sakanta, even if Lahokel B'Pikoch Nefosh Yusach Rav, you don't go Boser Rav. Even if there's a Svek Sveka of a Sofek Sakanta, you have to be choshish for the suffix sakana. That's where the Gemara comes out to that maskana. Shema mino, yeah. Shema mino, here the six lines from the top of Yudah Manal. Shema mino, chamir sakata misura, shema mino. Of course it's machama, we know that. By yisad ha'heta, you go basarayv lahakal. By suffix sakana, lahoch b'pikoch nefosh sachar haray. You're not allowed to go basarayv lahakal. Here's the Gemara on the next line, seventh line from the top. Gimel mashkam asurim shem gila, mayim, yayin, and cholav. These are the three mashkam. Even if it's far-fetched, that's the din. You're not allowed to go basarayv when it comes to suffix sakana. But in Nisa v'heta, of course you go basarayv. The Rishonim ask Akasha, the original pasuk acharam lahatas is in Parshas Mishpatim, both on a bezna of dini mominis, if you have bezna of 3, or a Sanhedrin of 23 on dini nefashas. So let's say there's a split vote whether the man is chayv misa or not. So the vote is split, 13 say he's chayv misa, 10 say he's not chayv misa. So you go basarayv and you give him the death penalty. What happened to the rule of alhocha b'tkuch nefashas achar harayv? So the Rishonim in the end of Yuma, the last parak in Yuma, they asked Akash. Because the big sugya about Pikuach Nefesh is a little bit in the end of the first parak in Ksubas. And the big sugya is the last parak in Yom Kippur. Because at the time of Maimon HaSinah, there must have been Cholim Meskenim who had to eat on Yom Kippur. Some foolish history books write that the Het of Pikuach Nefesh, Decha Shabbos, was invented in the days of the Chashmonoim. Because it says in the Book of Maccabees, whatever, that the Hasidim, when the Greeks would attack the Jews, so if they would attack them on Shabbos, they wouldn't fight back. And then the rabbis came up with this heter. No, you do fight back, because Pekach Nevesh Decha Shabbos. So until then, they never knew that Pekach Nevesh Decha, and there should have been every Yom Kippur, should have been thousands of people dropping dead. That's ridiculous. Every Shabbos there should be people dying. It can't be. So that's what Rav Moshe Tzvi Neria published the whole essay about that. He said that's not what they were mechadish in the days of the Chashmonaim. They knew all along from the first Yom Kippur after Maimon HaSinah was on Shavuos. A couple of months later was Yom Kippur. So there must have been Cholim Meskenim who were reading on Yom Kippur all the time from time immemorial, from right after Matan Torah. In Melchome, that's a question. The goyim want to take over, is that really called a suffix sakana? So even if it's not such a, Melcham is always considered a suffix sakana. Right? Even if they only want to take you as, they want to take over your country, it's still considered a suffix sakana. So the maskana sagmar, we know, that chamir sakanta me isura, that you don't go basarayv. You don't go basarayv to ignore a suffix sakana. Yeah, so let's go back again. We left off on Tesam and Aleph. They quoted Rav Huna. So the first half of Rav Huna, we understood what he said. Huna says, a live animal is also bachila, some kind of an isa. So we know Rashi says it's an isa evim anachai. That's the Rashi right before the white lines on Tesam and Aleph, when the lines in Rashi are still very narrow, right before the medium-sized line, says Eid Menachai. And Tais is there in Beit Zochav Heim and Aleph, disagrees with Rashi for two good reasons. Number one, now for sure it's dead. So now it can't be Eid Menachai. Now it's a shad if it's Nevela. So it's a different Issa. So it should have been Emachzik Mi Issa Li Issa. So Rashi apparently thinks Machzik Mi Issa Li Issa, the two are connected. Eid Menachai with Shchita, with Nevela, they are connected. The Machlokes Rashi and Tes, where the Machzikim is Eliyisa. And then the other time they had against Rashi was Behemah B'chayah Lav Le'Varma Meres, when the Gemara on Daf, where was it? Kuf Gimel, I think. Behemah Le'Varim, Behemah B'chayah Lav Le'Varma Meres, about the eight lines from the top of Kuf Gimel Amid Aleph. You don't say that a live animal that's walking around is a bundle of Eid Menachais. When you rip off a limb, that will become an Eid Menachai. Because when all the limbs are attached, you can say Eina Zvucha. That's what Tosfos substitutes for Rashi's Eid Menachai. Tosfos says they think the Cheskasisa is Eina Zvucha. So whatever it is, major machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, whatever it is, some kind of a Beima B'chaya is Asa Bachila. Either an Isa Esse of Eina Zvucha or an Isa Lav of Eid Menachai. So the Meilift is a Kol Sofik B'shchita. Any Sofik and Shchita, you have to go to Chumre. Not only be Torah Sofik Darais and the Chumre. So if the rice of the chumah, you don't get malchus. No, it's b'toras vaday, because it's tell a behemah b'chayav b'cheskas sisar meres. You follow the chazaka, the status quo. Since yesterday, the last couple of months, the animal was born a year ago. The animal was born 6 months ago. So for the last 6 months, it was an eid achai. Or the last 6 months, it was an enes vucha. And now there's a suffix whether there was a proper shechita. So you assume it's still an enes vucha, and it's going to be loike. There'll be malchus because it's a vaday yisa. So the first half of what Rav Huna said, we understand, b'cheska sisu emenes, ad sheivol alach b'amen nishchata. If you have a suffix whether the shechita was done properly, you paskim et toras vaday that the animal is aser, because you shtalav chazok. That's called chazok in the meikorah. Chazok ha-kamaisa, chazok in the meikorah. We said the other day, we said that the Prima Gordon points out that the word chazok is used in the Gemara with many, six different meanings. Each time it means a different thing. Sometimes chazaka means your karka is nikmas because of a bishtar of a chazaka. You coin a karka of a chazaka. What do you mean by chazaka? So the Mishnah says chazaka ketzad. How do you coin a karka of a chazaka? No, go to a paratz. You lock the gate or you put up a fence. Godar, a paratz. You break down a fence. A major shina, a tikkun in the karka. Then there's another din cheskas habatim. Has nothing to do with chazaka that's coin. Cheskas Habatim means if you can prove that this karka used to belong to you, this farm or this house used to belong to you, you have documents, you used to be the owner, and I claim that you sold it to me or you gave it to me, b'matana, and I can prove I was using the field, I was using the house for 3 years, like normal people live in their own house. I wasn't hiding, I wasn't running away anywhere, I was there every day for 3 years. So then that's a chazaka sheyesh matana. If I just claim I was living here for 3 years, squatter's rights, so there is no such thing. So that's not mine. But if I claim I bought it from you, so you'll ask me, where's your document? I say, I don't keep the documents forever. I have a house full of file cabinets. I have to keep all the canceled checks from sheyesh may breishes. I have a checking account over 50 years. You're not mechuyev to hold the checks. I don't have to have the IRS forms from 50 years ago. After 5 years, you throw it out. You're not mechuyev to save it forever. So I said, I didn't save the document. You sold me the house. I ripped up the shtar. I don't have to keep it forever. So if I can prove that I was having Achilles Paris for 3 years, that's a cheskas habatim. Cheskas habatim is not this. It's not no god or paratz. Chazoka is kind of karka is one thing. Cheskas habatim is a different thing. And then there's a different kind of chazoka. A woman is a katlanis. The first husband died. The second husband died. The third husband dies. Or a meso benamach masmila. How often does a strange occurrence have to repeat itself that you say you discern a pattern and you say maybe there's hemophilia running in the family, maybe there's whoever marries this woman is going to die, maybe there's some medical problem over here. So that's a trezim nehav chazaka, klazim nehav chazaka. That's a different din of chazaka. And then there's chazaka the meikara. The meat was sitting in the refrigerator and now it's soaking in milk, and I don't know, wasn't soaking in milk for more than 24 hours or less than 24 hours. I don't know. So yishtalav chazaka. When I put the meat in the refrigerator, it started off, it was kosher. I don't know whether the status quo changed or not. So I say, status quo, you assume it's still the same way it was before. So the word chazaka has different meaning. Then you have chazaka, ein anam pareh toks mana. You lent me $1,000 for a year, and I claim that I paid you a week after. That's not normal. People usually don't pay up the debts till the last minute. And then they wait. They don't pay 1 week into the year. They can make more money if they hold on to the halvah. For longer, they'll make more money investing in. So the Gemara says, Chazaka ein anam pareh toks mana. Chazaka ein anam chos al ashtar kei nasa begodl. That means a rubid leisa kama chazok al chavish eni moitzi mitachas yod adobish eni mesukan. We were talking, if you hold that women are posel, we had a mordchai. If women are posel, leiris by yidech and them yisurim, so how can you rely on your mother and your wife? The answer is, I know she's religious. She's not going to give me tray for food. So that's a chazok al chavish eni moitzi mitachas yod adobish eni mesukan. It's a rubid leisa kama that a religious Jew is not going to be machshon me in an aver. So there the word chazoka means rubid leisa kama. The word chazoka has different meanings in each case. Yeah, so the first half of what Rav Huna said, that's regular chazaka the meikara, chazaka kamaisa. But the second half is very unclear. Nishchato, once you shechted it ready, the cheskas hetor and then it's hachivarulach b'men nitrofo. What does that mean? Gemara says, what's the second half? What do the words mean? V'leima, why doesn't he say nishchato hutro? And whenever this is suffering in Shechita, you have to shtalo chazoki golo chumer, but nishcha tahutra, if you know you shechted it, so it's mutter, no shayla. What does it mean, nishcha becheshat heter? What do you mean, becheshkaset hachivarofam? What is he talking about? What do the words mean? Zog di gemore, hokamash malon, the second half of Rav Huna, that whole statement, becheshkaset, he's teaching me the following chiddush, the afogapti shalit bareza. Reza means a latest asufik. There is something to wonder about. There's room to argue the point and say that something is really fishy over here, something is strafe. So nonetheless, Rav Huna tells me, Nishchatos Becheskas Heter, since at the time that I shechted it, everything seems to be fine, and I assume that it's kosher, so even if later on a shayla, I realize that there is a shayla, I have the right to assume that it's kosher, because right after I shechted it, immediately after Shech, there was no Shaila. Shaila came up a day later, whether something changed. So since when I shechted it, it looked like everything was fine, so that's also called Cheskas Heta. We have the right to assume that it's Mutter Kidibu, and he's referring to the following kind of a scenario. Kidibu Ebenei, Rababa Rav Huna, Rababa Yes Rav Huna, the following Shaila. You told us that Din Rav Huna is the one who formulated the Din. So what would you say in the following case? If there's a nekev in the kishkes, is it the nekev in the kishkes, all the food is going to go out. So it's going to be a trefa. So what happened? What's the din? We shechted an animal, and a wolf came, and it ran away with the kishkes. So we didn't have a chance to check the kishkes to see if there's a nekev, what's the din? So the Gemara says, that's what Rababa asks Rav Huna. Rav Huna, you told us that the behema b'chaya b'cheskesiser. So what would you say in this case? You don't know if there's any nekev demenemi. I have to go to chumra because all the live animals are b'cheskesiser. So the Gemara says, no. What's the shan? Not the b'nei not tal. As a wolf came and ran away with the kishka holisnev. So there are no kishkas. So what's the shaila? You have a right to assume. We don't even check the kishkes lechatchila. We only check the for sirchas on the lungs, the Ramban right and the mechams because of mir tamotzim. And nekev and the bnei meyayim, we don't even bother to look lechatchila. Rav Soloveitchik used to say, it's not halacha l'moshe m'sina, only sirchas on the lungs. If there's any other treifas that turns out that it's a mir tamotzim, then you have to be boiling for that also. What's the definition of Niyat HaMotz? He was working with the definition of the Mishkan Es Yankin. Mishkan Es Yankin says 10%. That's what the Darkei Tshuva from the Munkacha. Darkei Tshuva and Yeridei quotes on that simon that you have to be boidek for sirchas on the lungs. Because the Niyat HaMotz, so the Darkei Tshuva quotes from the Mishkan Es Yankin, 10% or above. So Rav Soloveitchik said, as it happens, in the springtime, when the young sheep graze in the field outside, so the young sheep don't have enough seichel, so they have fences around the area, so the sheep shouldn't scatter, they shouldn't run away. So the young sheep are not intelligent enough, so they'll swallow nails. They'll peck or they'll chew on the fence, and the fence has wooden bars that are banked together with nails. So they'll swallow the nails, and nails will make a nekev in the Bnei Me'ayim. So, and he said, he had them check into it, and he said it was over 10%. In the springtime, it's over 10% of all of the young sheep. The older animals, not. Over 10% of the young sheep will have a nekev in the Bnei Me'ayim that makes it a trefa. So he said, so you have to be biting for a nekev in the Bnei Me'ayim, in the younger sheep in the springtime. If it turns out that that's a miyotam motzi, he went with the assumption, like the Mishkan is Yankev, 10% or above is a miyotam motzi. They showed me in Eretz Yisrael. They once gave me a tour of Kibbutz Chafetz Chaim, and they showed me that in order to prevent this from happening, they have a metal plate that's like 3 inches by 3 inches, that's a magnet, and they put it inside the stomach of the calves. So when the dumb animals swallow the nails, so all the nails are held on the magnet, and it doesn't go further into the Bnei Me'ayim. So they showed me a magnet that was not yet put into the stomach of the animal. Nice shiny magnet, 3 inches by 3 inches. Then they showed me a magnet that they took out from the stomach of an animal that they shechted. So it was all black and filthy and ugly, and it had 10 nails. It was holding on to 10 nails. It prevented the nails from going further, prevented them from making a nekev in the Bnei Me'ayim. I don't know exactly how they get into the stomach. They cut open the stomach and they put it in. They sewed it back again. I don't know. I should have asked them. Maybe they stuck it down the throat. I have no idea how they get this magnet in the stomach. But that's what they did to prevent that from happening. So the Gemara says, we don't even check lechatchila for nekev in Bnei Me'ayim. No. Rav Soloveitchik said, in the springtime in America, you have to, because it's a miyotam motzi. Okay, you have to check to see if it is or not. So the Gemara asks, what's the shaila? Boz zeh v'nata Bnei Me'ayim, a wolf came and it ran away, ran back to the forest with the kishkas. So what's the shaila? We don't even check lechatchila the Bnei Me'ayim. So what's the later, what's the reisa? There's no reisa means a later sasafik. What's the later sasafik over here? What's the problem? Amar says no, not. The Gemara asks, not tal. What's the shayla? Holis neu. If they're not here, so they're not here. So what? There's no shayla. El nike b'nei me'ayim. That's the shayla. A wolf comes and it pecked away and it made holes in the b'nei me'ayim. So the Gemara says nikev. Vaita, what's the shayla? Kochazina dehu nikvinu. I saw that the wolf made the bit into the b'nei me'ayim. So what's the shayla? What did he tell me? Rav Huna said a chiddush. Beim v'chei v'cheskesis. And Rav Baba asked him, what's the din in this case? What's the shayla in this case? What's wrong? If a wolf comes and it pecks away the Bnei Me'ayim, it doesn't make it a trefa. I already shechted it yesterday, and the wolf is pecking away today. It doesn't make it a trefa. Ella the Gemara says no. The Maisa, the Shaila is Nitolan Hechzirin Shein Nekuvim Mahu. The Ze'ev ran away with the Bnei Me'ayim, and he comes and he brings it back. Apparently he tasted it and he doesn't like it and wants his money back. So he brought back the Bnei Me'ayim, and you look at the Bnei Me'ayim. My mother said that I used to do that. When I was a little boy, I used to go to the candy store on the corner, and I would ask for a candy, and he would give me a candy, and I would taste it, and I said, I don't like it, I'll give it back to him. So he told my mother that she should pay for all the candies that I licked. So my mother said, why do you give him the candies? Tell him no. I didn't have any money with me, so she said to the storekeeper, don't give me any candies. I'm sorry. Yeah. So the Gemara says, so what's the shayla? Ela netolam. The shayla is 4 lines from the bottom. Netolam hechzirin shem dekuvim. The zeiv, the wolf came. He grabbed the Bnei Me'ayim right away to the forest. Then he came back and he leaves it. He doesn't like it. He wants his money back. So he comes and he leaves it. What's the shayla? Mahu. Michashinon, should I be concerned? Shem emakam nekev nikev. Should I be concerned? Maybe a snake bit into the Bnei Me'ayim and let some poison in. And the Ze'ev bit at the same location where there was a nekev from the snake, and you won't notice it. You'll see teeth marks over there. The snake doesn't have teeth, apparently. But the teeth marks, the tooth marks, are from the wolf. So maybe the wolf bit in the same location where the snake already bit and put some poisons. Highly unlikely. But when it comes to suffering the poshes, you have to be concerned about that too. So that's the shayla. You don't have to be concerned. No, there's a Mishnah there, Tosefta. It says beferish. No. What was the suffix? Do I have to be? I see there are teeth marks in the kishkis. So do I have to be concerned? Maybe there was a nekev in the Bnei Me'ayim that made it a trefa. Maybe there's a nekev in the Bnei Me'ayim that made it a trefa, and the wolf bit over there, so you can't notice it. But if the wolf wouldn't have bitten over there, you would have been able to see there was it was a trefa, it was nekev Bnei Me'ayim. So he said it's highly unlikely. It's far-fetched, you have to be concerned. So he says, I bet there's a tosefta that says beferish, yes. So he says, no, the tosefta means you have to be concerned, maybe the tzipor, the achbar, bit in the same location where there was a snake who put some poison. So he says, when it comes to safek sakoni, you have no right to go basaroy. It's highly unlikely that the tzipor and the achbar were biting in the same location where a snake left some poison. Punkt. One chance in 1,000. So it's highly unlikely. But nonetheless, when it comes to safek sakoni, you have to be concerned about that. But in the previous case, the esrafuna, you have to be concerned that maybe the ze'ev bit the Bnei Me'ayim in a location where there was a nekev and the animal is a trefus. So he says, no, that's highly unlikely. So as far as Isa Behet is concerned, you go basaroy. And as far as Safik Sakana, l'holch b'pikuch nefashah sachar haroy. You're not allowed to follow the roy. Yeah, we mentioned before the kasha, but he didn't say the answer. The Ramban and the Meiri, the end of Yuma, they asked that kasha, how can you give the death penalty if there's a split vote 13 to 10? What happened to the klal hoch b'koch nefosh sachar haroi? So he says, no, if it's a unit of a Sanhedrin, then we say ruba kukuloi. And we say the 13 who say chayiv misa is considered as if the whole Sanhedrin said that it's chayiv misa. If you would have, let's say, a person is sick on Yom Kippur, and you have 10 doctors say his life will not be in danger if he fasts. And one doctor says he will be in danger. He may lose his life. So you don't go basaroy. If it's 10 to 1, he says, because they don't constitute a unit. They're not a dozen. But if you have, so it's 10 to 1, so it's a suffix akana. So you have to tell him, you should eat on Yom Kippur. But if you have a bezdin, a Sanhedrin, and the miyut of the Sanhedrin says that he's not chayim misa. The rabbis say he is. So then you say it's one unit. You say ruba kukula. We consider as if the whole bezdin paskim that is chayim misa.
But if it's ruba kukula, the whole bezdin paskim is chayim misa. Don't we say that if the whole bezdin does actually paskim is chayim misa, he's zakai?
Yeah, that's if they all actually said chayim misa. Yeah, but here they didn't all say chayim misa. But look, he considers it as if it's ruba kukula. Yeah, good. The Rama writes on that din. If their instinctive reaction, the initial reaction was, they all said, they jumped and they all said Chayiv Misa. But if there was an argument first, then they debated, and then the 13 convinced the 10, they said, we agree with you, then the Rambam says, he is Chayiv Misa. It's only Paschal Kulam L'Chayiv. That's how the Rambam quotes it. But even if you say not like the Rambam, yeah, you have to have those who say not. But the Ruba Kukul is a halachic principle, yeah. That's a very good question. How can you learn Bittul Berov? Yeah. We can see Ruba Kukuloi, because the 13 are considered as if the Psak was given by the whole Sanhedrin. We see that Rov is Mevarer. We assume that the likelihood is that the 13 are right and the 10 are wrong. So you say that Rov is a good Biru. Then you say Ruba Kukuloi. But how do you see Bittul Berov? That's a very good question. So they quote something unintelligible in the name of Rav Chaim. I don't know. Rav Soloveitchik never said it over. I don't know. They have in the Mipi Ashmur from Rav Chaim. They say something, but there's something missing there. They don't explain it well. We're going to learn that Gemara. We're going to have to learn. It's coming up. On Daf Yud Aleph from an Aleph. The Rashi. Yeah.
Why does the Rashi say that
Bob's question even start? Why is Dinei Nefashos the same thing as Pikuach Nefesh? Pikuach Nefesh is an issue of Nishmartim Ol Menachos Seichem. There we don't go Baserov, but you go Baserov in Dinei Nefashos when it comes to giving a Chiyu Misa. They're not the same thing.
No, if we're not sure that it's Chayv Misa. The odds are 13 to 10 that it's Chayv Misa, but almost half of the Sanhedrin said it's not Chayv Misa. So how can they give him the death penalty? That's what the Rishonim ask. How can they give him the death penalty? So they all say like that because it's a Sanhedrin and it's one unit, not like 11 doctors. 10 say there's no Sakana, 1 says there is a Sakana. Then it's a suffix Sakana. You have to tell them to eat on Yom Kippur. But over here, it's a one Besdin that consists of 23 Dayanim. You say Ruba Kukula. We say Al Pidin, the Psak is considered as if it was issued by the entire Besdin. Yeah?
You have to call it Mitzvah Besdin, a Sakana.
Yeah,
Mitzvah Besdin is just an
entirely
different thing
than a Sakana. That's what he's asking. Yeah, okay. Maybe it's not a kasha. Okay, but then we show him in the end of Yuma. Take a look. Maybe some give you that answer. Okay. Keep it in mind. Keep it in mind. It's a mar mokum to look up. Okay. So that's what he answers. The Rav Huni answers, Mikom Adamis, the first line on Tesamah base. Mikom Adamis is Sula Sakanta, Sakana Shiny. In Isavaheta, you go Basarayv. So it's highly unlikely. You don't have to be Choshish that the Ze'ev, not the Ze'ev. And I see that it has the marks from the teeth of the wolf. Yeah, it's going to be Choshish Punk. The wolf bit it in the location where there was a Nekev anyway, and it was a Trefim we didn't know about. It's highly unlikely that that's what happened. The Roiv is that it didn't happen. When it comes to Sakana, you're not allowed to go bust the Roiv. It's called the suffix Sakana, even if it's slight, if it's nowhere near 50-50, it means a very slight suffix. If it's a sakana that people are nervous about. People are not nervous, then you say, Shamem, Psayim Hashem. Amalei Rove, so this is a conversation going on. Rababa asks Rav Huna. Rav Huna answers, Chamira Sakanta Meisura. And Rav is there also. It looks like they all lived in the same generation. We should check the history books. That's what it sounds like. Amalei Rav, so Rav chimes in, and he says, I don't see the difference. Mashna Sofka Sakanta, the Chumra, Sofka Surinami, the Chumra. Amal Abai, what are you talking about? Well, the Shani Ben Yisur, the Sakanta, of course there's a difference. The Hoch, the Koch, the Fosh, the Sakha, Rav, you don't go Basar Rav. And he said, you do go Basar Rav, Sakana, you don't go Basar Rav. I don't understand. Rava didn't know all the Gemaras that you don't go Basar Rav in Sakana. Anyway, the Gemara comes to the Maskana like Abai and like Rav Huna against Rava. Okay. I just don't understand how Rava even had a Havamina to say otherwise. So Abai says, V'loshani ben Yisrael Sakana, don't you know that when it comes to Sakana, you don't go Basar Rav. V'ilu sofik tumut b'shu sarabim sveka tohor. Yeah, v'ilu sofik ma'im gula masurim. Because it's a suffix sakana. Amalei, so Rabbi answers, no, that's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. That's why Hilchos Gemira l'misaita. Masaita b'shul seyach eftum b'shul seyach. Masa Rav Simi, yes, the kasha also against Rabbi. How can Rabbi think that it's the same? Sheretz b'fi chulda. A chulda is an animal that's jumping around. It's holding in its teeth, it holds onto a dead sheretz. There is Shmoyna Shortzim Amurim Batur. Shmoyna Shortzim is the name of the perik in Masechah Shabbos, the 24 proper. So one parak starts off with the Shmoyna Shortzim Amur Matara. Only those six rodents, when they're dead, so they're mitami b'maisim. So if you have a weasel is jumping around on top of Kikor Shel Truma, the challis there that was made from flour that they gave to the kohen, it's Truma Dikin flour. And this live animal is jumping around, but the live animal has in its teeth a dead sheretz. So you don't know when the animal is jumping. Could be the dead sheretz. He could be the chulda leaned over, and the dead sheretz touched the kikar shel truma. Could be the chulda didn't lean over. It's jumping around and it holds the sheretz up in the yip. So if it did, the chulda is not mekabel tumah. Only four things are mekabel tumah: other mekele mochel namashkin. So the chulda is an animal. It's not a person. Chulda is a girl's name. Chulda hanaviyah. But this is a chulda, an animal. This is not a girl. So if the chulda is running around, the chulda mahalach is a kabbik kikor shal truma. Sofik noga, sofik loing noga. The din is sveka tohor. Sveka tohor, even if it's b'shus ayochid. Sveikata, because the Dov HaMekabel Tumah here is the Kodeshal Tumah, that's not a person. Ein Bodas Lishur. Lila Sofik Mai Megula Masir, so he says, no, Hasanami Hilchas HaGemeri Lo. Abaye says, no. Hilchon Gveri Lo Misoita, Masoita Dov Sheyesh Bodas Lishur. Hafochanami Dov Sheyesh, but the chilek between Rishusach, Rishusach, is only if we're judging on people. Whether the woman is a Soita Asur Labayla or not, or whether the person was Makabal Tumah or not. It says, Vinitmo. So we say, Sofik, Sofik B'shusay Achid L'chumre, that's the Din Kini Astira, is Sofik B'shusay Achid L'chumre. And it says, Vinitmo, we say that's the Din Sofik Tumah B'shusay Achid is also L'chumre, but only if the Dov HaMakabal Tumah is a person, like over there, it's a Soita, we say Vinitmo. But if it's a kikore shel truma, it's a dove shem adas lishoel, so even b'shul sayachah, the din is a sveka tohar. Then the Gemara is going to finally quote another shine, so the Gemara proves conclusively. Oh, shmamin on the top. Shine, okay. Here there's a big discussion of different shittas. Here it's not too relevant on this daf, but yeah, Rashi and Tesis and the Rashi, different shittas. Exactly what do you learn out from Saita? Let's say Sofik Tumah B'Shul Sarab Mesveka Tohar. That's because Hilchas HaGemirila, because you learn out from Saita, or because Yishtalach Cheskas Tahara. So Taisa said they're both true. Sometimes Halacha Moshe, sometimes you learn out from Saita, but that's only Dovah Shev Shalias. Dovah Shev Shalias, you don't learn out from Saita. But as far as being Mitahir, both Reuven and Shimon, even though it's a Tata Disasri, that you Mitahir both of them. If it will be b'shus and we mitar both, that's based on chazaka. Chazaka is lahakil, even if it's a type of disaster. But you wouldn't say sofik tum b'shus aram lahakil if it would be a dovshi actually as a type of disaster. So Tosis, so there are different opinions here, exactly what is learned out from Saita, what not. Sofik tum b'shus ayochet sveka tami, that's learned out from Saita. What about sofik tum b'shus aram sveka tohar? That's learned out from Saita. You say, no, that's based on Ches Kastara. You don't have to learn out from Saita. I have a better way. It's based on Ches Kastara. If it will be learned out from Saita, it wouldn't apply if it's Dovshi Epshalios. So maybe it's based on Ches Kastara. Okay. So that's a discussion in the Rishonim. Exactly. It's not too relevant for the rest of the Masechta. It's relevant in other places. Here is a Tosis mentions a comment, Tosis de Maschal, Tmeyo, Sha'ani Yomer. It goes on the next Mishnah, on the next Mishnah in Parah that we didn't do yet. So Tosis points out, there are three types of Kelim that are not Mekabel Tumah, Kle Glolim, Kle Avonim, Kle Adoma, are just not Mekabel Tumah, because in the Chumash, only Kle Mateches, or Kle Eitz, are Mekabel Tumah. Or begodim are mekabel tumah, fine. But klei avanim, klei glolim, klei adama are just not mekabel tumah, not medivir Torah, not medivir sef. The Gemara says klei zechuches. In the end of the first parak in Masechta Shabbos, the Gemara says that glass kelim are not mekabel tumah min haTorah, but min the Rabbanon, they are mekabel tumah. Okay? And klei avanim, klei glolim, klei adama are not mekabel tumah even min the Rabbanon. So the Gemara has very interesting. That during the Baisheni period, they had a lot of trouble from the Tzedukim. The Tzedukim didn't accept the Torah Shebaal Peh. So the Tzedukim had all kinds of different opinions, but they didn't have any of the traditions of the Torah Shebaal Peh. So they insisted that Hiza Tohar ala Tomei, that Poradumah has to be made by a person who's Tohar, Tohar Legamrei. If a person went to the Mikvah and didn't yet experience Harav Shemesh, didn't yet have Harav Shemesh, Tesa Kohav, the problem of going to the Mikvah, so he's not allowed to do paraduma, and he's not allowed to do hazos, made par. So it says he's a tohar al atomi, and we have a tradition that it's not so. He's a tohar, afilu tohar kol dehu. That's how the Gemara. He's a tohar al atomi to do the hazos lishishvi, afilu tohar kol dehu. How did the Tanoim know to make such a drasha tohar kol dehu? So several swarm right because the word tohar is spelled in the Chumash without a vav. Torah is sometimes spelled with a vav, sometimes spelled without a vav. So Tohar Chosir means incomplete Tohar. If it will be spelled Tesei Vav Resh, Tohar Mala means fully Tohar. Tohar without a vav, Chosav Vav is an incomplete Tohar. So if we went to the Mikvah, even they didn't have Har Shemesh, that would be good enough for the purposes of making Paraduma, being Mazah. He's a Torah Latam, and Tohar called it was good. So in the Baisheni period, they have a lot of trouble from the Tzedukim. So So the Chachamim wanted all the Balabatim to know that we don't hold from anything that's Dukim say, Ben Lahakal Ben Lahachma. So they went out of their way. The few times that they made a Paraduma, the Mishnah says that in the history of the world they made so far 9 Paradumas, and Lasi Lavaz Mashiach Vetkumah will make a 10th Paraduma. Because the ashes don't last forever. You mix water with ashes and you use it to do Hazos Shlishi Shvi, but then you run out of it, so you have to make anew every 150 years ago. Every 150 years or so, you have to make another Paraduma. So the Gemara says that during the Baisheni period, when they made a Paraduma and they had the Tzduken tumbling their Shitas, so the Chachamim went out of the way to be Metameh, the Koyin Asurif HaSapar, they made him Tameh. They had him go to the Mikveh, and the same day they had him do the Paraduma, the Hoitzim Elib Moshalot Tzduken, to demonstrate to the Hamoinam, we don't hold from anything that Tzduken say, even a Chumr. Even if they came up with a Chumr, they Kul Yom can't do the Paraduma, everything they say is not acceptable. So the Chachamim were concerned that this is on the first daf in Yuma. Rashi explains this. That's come out what it says in the Gemara Beferish. So Rashi explains, and the Chachamim were afraid that this is going to convey a mistaken impression that Paraduma, everything goes. You don't have to be 100% Tohar. If you're Mesupik, everything. So they bent over backwards. No. They have to be mitami the kind of surface hapara and have them go to mikveh and do it while it's a tful yom lehoytzim eliv shalat zdukim. There was a battle going on with the reform, with the zdukim, with the apikursim, but they had to demonstrate that paraduma is a very serious issue. You have to be very careful about tumah v'tara. So they used to use davka klei glolim klei adoma klei avonim, which are mamish not mekabel tumah. So even if they did touch a mace, they're just not mekabel tumah. Period. And then that's on the first daf in Yuma, and Gemara in Sukkah talks about it. They used to ask pregnant women who will volunteer to have their children in it. There was a tiny area in Yerushalayim, 2 blocks by 2 blocks, a tiny little area, where they know for sure there's no mason buried there. Wherever you go, you can never tell. Maybe 2,000 years ago, there's a cemetery here. So they had a little area in Yerushalayim, they know for sure, absolutely tall, no mason over here. So they would ask pregnant mothers, pregnant women, who would be willing to live in this tiny little area of 2 blocks by 2 blocks and give birth to the baby here and not to take the baby out till he's 8 years old. Maybe we're going to need the child. Maybe. Every 150 years they made a paraduma. They had all these pregnant women. Women volunteered to give birth to the baby, raise him there. And Ruba the Ruba of them were not used. 99.99% of the children were not used for Paraduma. It was such a crazy thing that they wanted all the Balabatim to realize how serious the Inyan of Tumah V'Tahara is by Paraduma. You have to go out of your way to take little children who never walked out of the 4 square blocks where they were born. They stayed there for 8 years. And then we tell them, now you can go back and blend in society. We don't need you anymore because they didn't use them for the Paraduma. So why? So Rashi explains, they were gunning out, they had to fight against the Tzedukim. So they had to be Metamid the Koyin HaSarif HaSapor, but not to convey the mistaken impression that by Paraduma, you don't have to be so medactic. So they introduce wild chumis, Klei Glolim, Klei Adoma, Klei Avonim, and they introduce wild chumis, where the women should give birth to their babies and they should use those little children to prepare the Paraduma. The whole thing was so wild. That's what some of the Achrenim say with respect to the Chumra of Maim Shein Lahem Sof. If a man is married and we see the way he drowns in the ocean and we don't see the body come up, but we don't see the edge of the ocean. The ocean keeps on going. So there's a far out chance that maybe he found some place under the water and maybe he's still alive there. The odds are 10,000 to 1 that he's dead. But there's one far-fetched chance that he's still alive. So the Chachamim Chachamim felt compelled to be Mekel, Eid Echad is good by Meis Bailam. There was a big machlokes in the days of the Tanaim. And the Romans were killing people right and left and they were throwing Jewish men in dungeons and they let them die from starvation there. And there was no one around to tell their wives that the man was dead. So if they had Eid Echad to say the husband dead, they would be lucky. So in the days of the Talmud, days of the Roman persecutions, the Mishnah says in Yevamos, Rabbi Kiva was in prison. They put him in prison because he was teaching Torah Baradim, and he gave the psak. He said, the psak HaMakubal from the earlier generation, Eidechu, it is believed by Meis Baila. So the Chachamim felt they had to be Mekel by Meis Baila. On the level of the Reis of the Pashtus is that you really need two Eidim. And it's very difficult to understand. All the Rishonim break their heads to understand how come they were Mekel to say Eidechu is good. So they shouldn't give a mistaken impression that Loisinuch is a light Iser. You can believe in Eidech, anything goes. So they introduced wild chumers to balance out, just like by Par Adum, and they introduced wild chumers to balance out the mistaken impression. So too by Meis Baila, they introduced the chumra of Maim Shein Hamsof. They never really meant to aser a woman who's Maim Shein Hamsof. They just meant it should take you 2 weeks to come up with a head. Instead of coming up with a head right away, he drowned in the ocean. 1, 2, 3, what is there to discuss? So he said, it'll take a while till you have a double, a tray ruby. If you have a double rive, then you can make one. Most of the time, there will be a tray ruby. Most of the time, when someone drowned in the ocean, there will be a double rive. But they're never really meant to be machmer. They meant to offset the mistaken impression conveyed by the kula veidechad. So he said, we have to introduce a chumer by Yeshus Ish. People should realize how serious the issue is. Okay, we better run to Davi Mincha. So tomorrow we'll discuss briefly Hilchas Rosh Hashanah. Good.